The lame man gives his disciples his attention because he had a need and they had something to give him to meet his need. Many times we think what we need is not what we need at all. Amen? Above everything else in life, you and I need Jesus. Right? That's a good place to say amen. I'd hate to start over. Above everything else in life, you and I need Jesus. Amen? Oh, that's great.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached out of Acts chapter 3 in his sermon titled, The Leaping Lame Man. And now, Brother Mark.
Well, we've been following Jesus through the cross, and we're in Acts chapter 3. And we followed Jesus through the cross, and then we followed him as he ascended into heaven. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit come down at Pentecost. And now we're the believers are full of the Holy Spirit, and they're going out and preaching the word. And so we pick up in Acts 3. Beginning with the first verse, and it says, Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Well, the Jews had three times that they went and prayed every day at the church. They had a prayer meeting at 9 in the morning. They had a prayer meeting at noon. And at this time when Peter and John was going, they had a prayer meeting at 3 p.m. The ritual comes by Abraham, who instituted the first, Isaac, who instituted the second, and Jacob, who instituted the last. I want you to take note of the crowd that's around Peter and John. These are the religious, the pious folks that are surrounding Peter and John. And my friends, that's the toughest people that you can preach to. You can... There's no tougher crowd than the religious crowd when you're preaching. And they're the worst critics. It's easier to preach to a group of non-believers, a group of pagans, than it is to preach to the church. Because the church knows the word. The church knows a lot about what I should be saying up here. And if I say something wrong, even though I say 100 things that are right, I'm going to hear about the one wrong thing, right? Amen. That's the way it is. So they've got this tough crowd. They're going to the church, and here's all the religious and pious folks of that day who go to church every day, three times a day to pray. Do you know anybody that goes to church three times a day to pray in this day and age? I don't think so. In fact, we would probably do well if we could find a few people that pray at 9 o'clock, at noon, and at 3 o'clock, right? Amen? A set time. And we know Daniel did that, right? He even when he was held captive, he still prayed during the three times of the day that he was supposed to. And they was really, really diligent to meet and pray. And you know, I think that's something that we probably miss today, that we're not as diligent in our prayer life as we should be. Amen? I mean, prayer is a powerful thing, and it's our connection with the Father. It's our how the Holy Spirit inside of us connects with God the Father, and how He can use us and speak to us through His Word, through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, through the circumstances in life that we're going through, and through different believers, in order that we might be able to do God's will. And that's how He's going to talk to us and through our prayer. So we need to be diligent about prayer. Matthew 23:27 says, Jesus addressed this religious crowd several times when he was on earth, and he called them a brood of vipers in Matthew 12:34. He said, You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He also said that they were whitewashed tombs. And in Matthew 23:27, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones." He was speaking to the religious and pious folks of the day. And in the same way, on the outside, you appear to be righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. We have a lot of religious folks who are going to church every Sunday. They come and they occupy their place in the pew and they go through the motions of Christianity. They're even helping with the works of the church and they're doing the things that we think that a Christian would be doing, but they've never come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Billy Graham said one time, "Our greatest witnessing field is inside the church house." Amen? I think we have a lot of lost people inside the church. They're even being religious might be the greatest deterrent to finding Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Think about it. Would it be easier to convince a non-believer on the street who Jesus is and that Jesus is who He said He was than it would be to convince a righteous person who knows who Jesus is, who knows what the Word of God says, who knows how to be saved, but has never made that commitment in their heart? Matthew 7, 21, 23 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name did we not perform miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple at that third time of prayer, asked them for alms. The Beautiful Gate. Well, what do we know about the Beautiful Gate? Not much. The Beautiful Gate, from what I could find in the literature, it was a gate made of brass, maybe something like 30 feet high and 60 feet wide. And it was a gate that opened up into the outer courts of the temple. So here was this paraplegic who was born that way and was carried every day by his friends or family to the Beautiful Gate that was close to the house of God to beg for money to survive. I can't think of a better place for a beggar to reside than on the path to church. When these religious and pious folks was going every day, three times a day, to the church house, he would be right there at the gate as they come and went into the church house. And so here he sat on this path to church. Well, maybe today would not be the right time for someone to sit outside of the church house asking for alms. Must be because in America, people that are giving are not the religious folks of the day. They're not the righteous folks of the day, but they're the folks that are out there, and we see them asking for alms near the shopping centers of our day, amen? Where the consumers go. And so it's sad, my friends. It should be the church and not the world that is the most giving and helpful. Amen? So this lame man, he sees Peter and John going past the gate where he was lying and going to church to pray at 3 p.m. And the Bible says upon seeing them, he asked them for some money. After fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Now that's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Look at us. Kind of odd. When you see a person on the money on the street asking for money, do you say, "Look at me"? No. I mean, that would be kind of an odd thing to say. So he gave them, the Bible says he gave them his attention. He looked at them, expecting to receive some money from them. The lame man gives James and Peter and John his attention. You see, if we're going to reach the lost for Jesus, you and I must have something that they need. The lame man gives his disciples his attention because he had a need and they had something to give him to meet his need. Many times we think we think what we need is not what we need at all. Amen? Above everything else in life, you and I need Jesus. Right? That's a good place to say amen. I'd hate to start over. Above everything else in life, you and I need Jesus. Amen? Oh, that's great. So if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the first and most important thing in life, and nothing else matters. But if you have Jesus, everything else matters. Everything else. You see, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Many times we neglect to give folks in need the most important thing in life. We think that if we give them a meal, if we give them a ride, if we give them a job, that will fix them. But listen, folks, the most important thing in life is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, they're going to fail. Amen? Without Jesus, they're doomed. Amen? Without Jesus, life is impossible. Amen? So without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Oh, without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. And without Him, my life would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. The Bible says, "And He took him by the right hand, and He lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Now think about that for a minute. Just picture this person that was born a paraplegic with his legs did not work. He had never walked in life. And here, Peter takes him by the right hand and heals him in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says immediately his legs became whole. And he gets up. He don't just stand up. The Bible says he leaped to his feet. he leaped to his feet and stood on his feet. And then he went with them into the temple, and he was walking and running and leaping and shouting for joy because he could walk. Wow. I mean, think about that for a minute. Wouldn't that be an amazing sight to behold? To see this man who had never walked leap to his feet and give God the glory. When Jesus heals, it's never partial. Jesus always heals completely and perfectly. You know, when people go to the doctor and they get some kind of like a knee replacement or a shoulder worked on, or you get some kind of work done, you have to do something afterwards called rehab, right? I don't see this man doing any rehab. He's immediately made perfect. He's immediately made complete. And he jumps to his feet and he's like he was never lame one day of his life. He's going great guns. And so that kind of healing only comes down from the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow of turning. And all the people, the Bible says the people saw him walking and praising God. Well, He immediately gives God the glory. And he starts praising God as he's, and it says, they knew who it was because it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Well, you can imagine these folks who went to the temple three times a day, and every time they passed the beautiful gate, there was the lame man sitting. There he was, every day. Same person, every day, asking for alms. In fact, many of them had probably given him alms. And now they see him leaping and running and shouting for joy and praising God. And they knew who it was, and so they had this wonder and amazement. It stirred up quite a commotion. You see, the religious folks on the way to pray in the temple began to pay attention to what was going on, and they saw the man who was lame from birth, leaping and walking and running and yelling. Then the Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement. We have the same reaction today when one is healed by Jesus. We are filled with wonder and amazement. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw people unto myself." Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, imagine this, he won't let go of them. He's just received his legs, he's made complete, he's whole, he's perfect. He's jumping, yelling, screaming, and holding on. He's holding on to Peter and John. And all the people ran together with them to the porch of the outer court of the temple, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. The lame man who was healed, along with Peter and John, made their way to Solomon's porch. This man who was healed would not let go of the apostles. He was holding on to them in his gratefulness. He was not going to let go of his healers. Solomon's porch was a porch that was 800 feet long on the east side of the outer court of the temple. So here's the deal. You just provided ministry through Jesus Christ to someone who was completely healed and fixed. They was made whole. Who gets the glory? You know, it's human nature to want to take at least partial credit for that. Amen. Don't we sometimes say, "Yeah, I was the one that led that person to Christ"? Or don't we sometimes say, "Yeah, I went and prayed with that person at the hospital and they're well now"? And don't we sometimes want to take a little bit of the focus when really everything that took place because of what Jesus Christ did? Nothing that we did. He just used us as one of his instruments to do the work. I preach great sermons like always. And I stand back at the door when y'all leave. And a few of y'all walk by and tell me what a great message it was. And that never goes to my head, right? Amen. But just being honest, truthfully, I could do nothing or say nothing that would ever even slightly give me credit for any message that I've preached. It's all Jesus in me and his word that does the work. I pray for the right message. I pray for the right words. I pray for the right songs. I pray for a movement of the Holy Spirit in this place and in your life and in my life. And when that takes place, I should give God all the glory. Amen. Let us be a God-giving glory people. Let us always give God the glory. When he does a work here at Calhoun Baptist Church, let's just give God the glory. But see this. When God does a great work, he draws a crowd. Did you see that in the message? Here's this man that was a paraplegic from birth, and now he's made whole, and all the people see it, and there's a crowd that gathers as they walk into the outer court of the temple to Solomon's porch. This huge crowd that's amazed with wonderment follows Peter and John and the man that was healed as they go in to the outer court. The miracles God does always draws a crowd. And when the crowd gathers, it's time to preach the gospel. Amen? And that's what we're going to see that Peter and John does. We're not going to be able to finish this chapter this morning because it's just packed full of too much stuff. But so I'm gonna go to the conclusion here, and we'll finish this next Sunday. But God is still performing miracles today. Amen. Amen. We see them all the time. One of the things, I think one of the miracles that we miss a lot of times is the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation. Every time a sinner says, Jesus is Lord, I believe that you're God's Son, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, I believe that you can cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and that you can save me and take me to heaven someday. When they pray that prayer and they're made clean and whole and the Holy Spirit comes into their heart and lives inside of them, that's a miracle of God. Amen? There is nothing else, no one else, there's no other thing, there's nothing in this world that can do that except God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way that people are going to be saved and go to heaven someday. That's a miracle. And every time that happens, there's angels in heaven that begin to rejoice. And they begin to say the name of the person that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's announced in heaven. And this announcement is celebrated in heaven. There's nothing else on earth, I don't think, that moves God in such a way, and all the angels of heaven and all the inhabitants of heaven, as when someone asks Jesus to come into their heart and save them. Can you imagine what's going on in heaven as this happens? Just think about it. You know, all of a sudden you hear, whoo! And the crowd roars and everything, and some name is announced, you know, John, George, Jim, Sally, whatever. They just accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And everyone, yay, yay, you know, and heaven's rejoicing because of this one that come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a miracle of God. And God is still performing them miracles today, and He'll continue to perform them until Jesus comes back. Amen? Now, Jesus is in heaven with God the Father, right? When He died, He went to heaven and He's seated by the right hand of God the Father. And He said that He is going to heaven to make apartments for you and I onto the Father's house. He's going to build onto the Father's house. These are called insulas. An insula is like an apartment on the Father's house. And we are the bride of Christ. Every believer, we are the bride of Christ. And one day Jesus is coming back for His bride. And when He comes back for the bride, He's going to take the bride home to live at the Father's house in the insula. Now, whenever a young Jewish boy would become engaged to a beautiful young Jewish lady, he would go to his father's house and he would begin to build an insula on the house. And he would, every so often, he would go and ask his father, he would say, come look at the insula. And the father would go around and they'd look at the insula and he'd say, no, it's not ready. You need to do some more trim work here. You need to work on the floor over here. You need a little better painting over here. There's some stuff that still needs fixed. So you keep working on the insula. And so he would work on it and work on it, and then he would come look at the insula. So the father would go look at it. Yeah, it's getting better, it's getting better. He says, I think you better work on the bathroom a little bit. You know, ladies like bathrooms a lot, and need more lighting in there. So and you better fix this and that. And so he'll go to the father and keep asking the father if it's ready. And one day the father's going to say, yep, it's ready. Go get your bride. Go get your bride. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. Every time someone is saved, He goes and builds another insula on the Father's house. And he'll go back to the Father and says, is it time? He goes, no, still got work to do. There's still people being saved. There's still people that's calling, saying, Jesus is Lord, and you keep working on the house. And one day, Jesus is going to go to the Father, and He's going to say, Father, are the insulas ready? He's going to say, it's ready. Go get your bride. And He's going to come the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he's going to take the bride of Christ all home with him to live forever. Amen? Jesus is coming back to take all the saints home and to defeat Satan and to cast him in hell forever. And he will perform miracles among us, and he will make himself known among us, and we will need to be ready in season and out of season to share the word, because he'll draw a crowd. Amen? He says, if I am lifted up, I will draw people. And when he draws them, you and I need to be ready in season and out of season to share the gospel message. As Victoria comes to lead and Phyllis comes to play, we need to be sensitive to seekers. God will bring them in the church house. God will bring them to your workplace. God will bring them into our community. And God will bring them into your life. And when he does, you need to share the gospel with them. Tell them about Jesus, that they might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In Samuel 17, 50 and 57, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and he killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David, so David ran over to the great giant and he took the sword out of the sheath and he killed him with his own sword, and he cut Goliath's head off. And David took the head of the Philistine in his hand, and he went into the city holding the head, saying, look what God did. He was giving God all the glory. David gave God the credit for killing Goliath. We should give God the credit for killing all the giants in our life. Amen? And we should give God the credit whenever God saves one person that confesses that Jesus is Lord. We need to get the opportunity to share the power of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the salvation of God, and we need to do it with all vigor. We need to be diligent about sharing the gospel. This morning, I ask you to stand and pray with me. As we seek God to come into this community and draw a crowd. And may he use us like he used Peter and John to manifest his work within us, that we might be able to reach people for Jesus Christ, and that the crowd might come and hear the gospel of Jesus preached. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just pray for your work to be done, for your will to be done. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive to how you're working in our community, how you're working in the church, how you're working in our workplace, how you're working in our lives. And Lord, as you bring people into our lives, as you bring people into various places that we meet them, may we be diligent to share the gospel with them, that they too might hear the truth of your word, and that they might find you and become a believer, and that you might change your destination from hell to heaven. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see with spiritual eyes all that you're doing, that we might be able to move into each work where you're at work, where every crowd is drawn together, that we might share with them the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you that you continue to do miracles in our midst. And we see you doing them, and we know it's you. And Lord, we just praise and glorify your name for all that you do. We thank you for every single life that's changed, for the deposit of the Holy Spirit within us and with every person that says Jesus is Lord. Lord, I pray that as we go from this time, this house, and we go out into our lives, wherever you take us, that we would realize that every situation is an opportunity, that every person is a person that you died for, And Lord, that we need to be about your business. And we need to know that the most important thing in this life is Jesus. And apart from Jesus, Lord, we're going to fail. But through you, Lord, all things are possible. So Lord, I just pray this morning that you would work in our midst and in our hearts to draw us to you. And all these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be singing page 282.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.